Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as we talked about yesterday, Trump over the weekend said he's going to go and he's going to fire the FBI director because, well, didn't get the smoking gun that he thought was coming. Couldn't get that. I guess then going to go after the CIA director, going to go after the Pentagon. Anybody who didn't do the bidding that he was requesting and demanding, evidently he's on the chopping block if he's reelected. And please, if you haven't voted, as I said, take your ballot to the drop location. Don't put it in the mail or surrender it and vote in person. Do not allow them to steal this election by playing to the Supreme Court. But a re-election of Donald Trump, for me, I think is just chaotic, dangerous, moves us one step closer to autocracy and all the horrible things that we've been talking about. And here to share some thoughts on what that might look like, I've asked Nancy Soderberg to come talk with us. She's a former White House Deputy National Security Advisor and UN Ambassador. Nancy, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure.
So, you know, I'm sure you saw this. We're going to fire Christopher Wray because he didn't dig up enough dirt. I got to imagine Billy Barr's on the chopping block for not having the smoking gun. This is crazy, isn't it?
It is. I mean, this is a president who has undermined the very essential public servants who, you know, I've worked with them for decades. They come in and they do their job because they believe in the Constitution. They stand up, and he cannot tolerate anyone who isn't a sycophant and tries to shove them aside. And, you know, just from one investigation after another has just pushed them aside, fired them. And it's really just downright un-American in my view.
No, I mean, no, absolutely. And this is one of those, you know, you read those dystopian novels of the 30s of, you know, the fascist uprising and a, you know, dictatorial leader, you know, using the, you know, the powers of government against the people. And I see Trump being that kind of a character. Anyone he doesn't agree with or doesn't agree with him or doesn't kowtow, I fear disappearances. I fear, you know, prosecutions. If you saw the rallies, they're doing the lock Joe Biden up chant now. Lock him up. You know, I'm going, what do you do now?
Well, he's a one trick pony. He's running the 2016 election. Sure. Again, lock her up, you know, the emails, and it's not going to work this time. But just stepping back for a minute on the democracy, I've spent my life in foreign policy, promoting human rights, democracy around the world. Never thought we'd have to worry about democracy here in the United States. And one man's election has put our entire democracy at risk. Our founding fathers says it's the best system if you can keep it. And this is our test. Can we keep our democracy? You have a Republican Party that has become sycophants to a guy, a wannabe dictator. And this is what November 3rd is all about. Stand up and make sure that your vote is counted, that you vote early, that you vote in person. However you vote, have a plan, because there is nothing more important than protecting our democracy. This is our test. Can we protect our system? I'm an optimist. I think we will. But frankly, I was shocked when Donald Trump got elected in 2016. I was shocked then. But I said to all my friends, well, you know, our systems will provide a check and balance so he'll moderate. And instead, the system supported him. So he's controlled the Senate, stacked the Supreme Court, and put our democracy at risk. It's terrifying.
Yeah, but that's where we differ. I predicted he was going to win in April of 16 because I went back to my hometown of Cleveland and you know, saw my family, which, you know, honestly speaking, they are the basket of deplorables. But they lived through deindustrialization. They lived through the destruction of what was the most prosperous working class in history. And Democrats did very little to help. And he told them everything was going to be okay. He came in and said, we're going to bring back manufacturing. We're going to bring those jobs back. We're going to bring the 1950s back where you can have one income and support a family. And they bought it.
Well, you know, President Trump is a genius at reading the audience and hitting the lowest common denominator to which people excel. His Make America Great Again is bringing us back to the 1950s where men were in charge, women had dinner on the table, blacks were in the place, and no Hispanics. And that subliminal messaging has worked for him in 2016, and that's what he's doubling down on in his base. Personally, he can't win with just his base.
Right.
We understand that to win, he's going to have beyond that tiny little, it's not tiny, it's 40 some odd percent of people. Unless he expands beyond that base, he cannot win. And I frankly don't understand the strategy of just doubling down the base. He doesn't have a base turnout big enough to put him over the top on November 3rd.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right. Because the people that I know in the area that I'm in, they're all in. They've already bought the t-shirt. They got the t-shirts and the hat.
I live in Jacksonville, Florida. Everybody, you know, there's Trump signs and flags everywhere, but there's also that, you know, occasional Biden sign that gives you hope.
Yeah, but you know, they've most certainly bought into the cult. But you know, you brought up a moment ago that as you're going back to the 1950s, you know, in a very male-centric campaign, and to highlight that today, he said that trying to woo female voters back. Your husbands they want to go back to work. We're going to get your husbands back to work, and everybody wants that. I think the wives might want to go back to work too.
Yeah. He doesn't know how to talk to American families. Right now, American families are suffering from COVID, watching their family members die, worried about putting food on the table, trying to juggle kids at home. And there's no sense of empathy to understand what the American people are going through. That's why I think he's going to lose. We went through 2016, so no one's predicting anything, but unless he can reach out to the women who see his failure to protect us during COVID, he's got a hotspot going in the White House. These rallies are super spreaders. You know, he got the best medical care and was juiced up with all sorts of steroids and drugs that saved his life. And he bounced back on the trail as if COVID is nothing. Well, American people know COVID is a major threat. We want to know, how can you keep us safe during COVID? How can we keep food on the table while we can't go to work? And there's just silence. And I think that is what Joe Biden is emphasizing on this campaign trail. President Trump can complain about all he hears about is COVID, COVID, COVID. That's because that's what the American people are worried about. And so you need a president who's going to understand the needs of the people, understand what they're going through. And this is a president who makes it all about himself every time.
There's no question about that.
Empathy.
There's no question it is all about him all the time. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Nancy Soderberg, former White House Deputy National Security Advisor and UN Ambassador. You know, I look at where we are as a country, and we're standing on the edge of a cliff. Our economy's not doing great. The COVID's surging again, and they're talking about things getting a whole lot worse quickly. Internationally, I don't think we're doing all that well. As someone who that your focus was national security, you know, I look at all of the, you know, the possible Russian interference, the Chinese interference, North Korean. We're in a much less safe position now than we've probably been in most of my life. And I lived through the era of mutual assured destruction. I just see us in a really, really dangerous spot. I'm curious where you put us.
I think this is a time of great choice for the American people. We've had great prosperity under the last administration that fueled a economic boom in the early pre-COVID times of the Trump administration. But Americans are hurting now. We need a president who can lead us into recovery, dealing with science and facts. And I think what we need to have now is a return to our values. I think the American people are strong. They want to return to normalcy. Everyone's just tired of the chaos. It's like, turn the noise off and let's not have to worry about what the president's tweeting. Let's not worry about a president who's going to fire someone because they oppose him, or some foreign deal, or the corruption that's going on in this White House. And I think I'm a strong believer in the American public knowing the difference between right and wrong. And they know that we want to get back to normal, that we want to have a president who listens to the American people, that they end up doing what's right for us instead of jamming through Supreme Court nominees literally a week before the election. And I think ultimately, I think the American people are going to stand up and say, this is just wrong, and let's try and move it forward. On the American safety and the international security side, our allies are skeptical of us. They are deeply concerned that the America, which is always a standard of living up to your word, if America said they would do something, you could take that to the bank. We've pulled out of one accord after another. We pulled out of the WHO during a pandemic, the World Health Organization during a pandemic. And I talked to a lot of my friends and allies around the world who don't know really quite what to make of that. They're hoping that we return to normalcy, but it's going to take a long time for us to rebuild that trust. No. And I think I call it the Humpty Dumpty effect. People who think we can just go back to the world on President Obama's last day are fooling themselves. The world has fundamentally changed under President Obama. America's image under President Trump, America's image has fundamentally changed under President Trump. And we have to change the way we deal with the world, which means putting more people at the table, being more empathetic to the needs of the rest of the world, and showing that we're a reliable partner. And it's going to take several terms of a president before we earn that trust back.
So there's no just going, hey, you know what, we just had a little spasm. We let the crazy guy with the, you know, we let the curmudgeon who, you know, was screaming at the TV, we let him in charge for a little bit. We've stepped
that
back.
That was the view after George W. Bush. An aberration. Okay, the Iraq War was a bad choice. And literally the world gave Barack Obama the Nobel Peace Prize just for getting elected. He hasn't done anything. And they were so relieved. And then to have 8 years of Obama followed by this great disruptor who cares more about our relations with the dictators around the, you know, dictators of, you know, Russia, Poland, Hungary, Duterte in the Philippines, and tries to, you know, fall in love with the dictators of North Korea, fails to stand up to the Saudis who murdered a journalist who was a resident of the United States in our close NATO allies consulate in our NATO allies of Turkey, and just fundamentally undermine America's values. And it's going to take us. Do not, your listeners should not think that if Joe Biden wins, that on January 20th in 2021, the world goes back to how it was pre-Trump. They're mistaken. It's going to take a long time for us to repair this damage. And I'd like to think that we could take advantage of some of the disruption to remake the world. It took World War II for us to create the UN, all these international organizations to recognize that we need alliance. Let's take the advantage. What can we rebuild differently? The world wasn't perfect under Barack Obama. So can we make the Security Council broader so it represents today's world? Can we make the, you know, ensure that the Chinese stop stealing our intellectual property rights? I think there's an opportunity that Joe Biden has, if he is to win, to sort of say, all right, world wasn't great. It led to dictators like Orban and Putin and a disruptor like Trump. So what's wrong with this system? And let's come together and make sure that we return to our values, rebuild the system. Remember, the richest 8 billion men in the world own more than all the wealth of the bottom 4 billion people in this earth. That's wrong. So what can we do about income inequality? How can we remake it so that American people and the working classes around the world feel that their governments work for them? So I think if Joe Biden wins, we have an opportunity to rebuild it like we did after World War II and think, okay, there's something wrong going on. Let's come together and fix it. So I think it's a great opportunity to come in with people who share my values of making sure that hardworking Americans and workers around the world get a fair deal, a decent wage, that women have health care and can choose when to have their children and that their families can live in dignity. That's what we should be fighting for if Joe Biden is elected. And I think the chaos that has been created creates an opening that we all should come together and insist that our next government and world do.
Yeah, I'm with you, but, you know, because I've called for a new age Bretton Woods Accord because our trade policies clearly aren't working for workers in this country. We've definitely got to do something. And I think that's the nut that the blind squirrel and Trump found, because that's what people are angry about. They're angry that their opportunities aren't what they used to be, and that our government hasn't been working for the average everyday working person. And that's where
and
I think a
right.
lot of people.
That is true. I mean, where are unions in today's world? Where are your who has a pension? Who has health care insurance in their older age? Who can make sure that they can retire with dignity or take care of their families? All of us have family members who've had major illnesses in their older years. How do you pay for that? Lord, you know, help us if anyone has a mental health issue or drug addiction. None of that is covered. And so I think this, what we need to do is vote, 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 and then start demanding real change on November 4th. November 8th before we know who wins. But
right.
This is an opportunity to really fundamentally reshape our priorities here. And I think all of your viewers have a role in making sure that we do that. Stand up, make sure your voice is heard, demand justice for the middle class. It's time. And in a way, if we play this right, Donald Trump will pave the way to make sure that the American workers are defended and workers around the world have dignity.
From your lips. I mean, you know, I'm hoping that's right. I've been saying, January 20th at 12:01, on that day, that's when the work really begins, because we got to do a bunch of things simultaneously. Got to clean up the mess of these last 4 years and all of the fires that they've built, and then figure out how you're going to actually do the hard work, as you pointed out.
Well, but think of the possibilities. I teach, and I've seen in the last 15 years of evolution in our next generation that, you know, 15 years ago, they were wondering whether science, climate change was real. They were wondering if the skeptics were right. Nobody in the younger generation questions the need for climate change. They accept the differences among us, probably because they're all on their phones and nobody sees who they're talking to. So who cares what their sexual preferences or their races? And they are fact-based. They can check fact-check anything, and they know how to fact-check. And so this next generation, I think, is prepared to move us into a fact-based, science-based, unified global solution to our challenges. And I'm optimistic that if Joe Biden wins, that's going to unleash a whole new effort to fix these problems, fueled by the next generation.
I'm right there with you, Nancy.
You guys, if you're in the next generation, make sure you vote. Most important thing you do is go vote early, and make sure that your vote is counted.
Good stuff. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
Nancy Soderberg, former White House National Deputy Security Advisor, also UN Ambassador. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.